This past November, the House of Representatives saw a large net gain in seats. The blue wave, if that's what you want to call it, saw an influx of very young, very left-thinking representatives. Many of the freshman Congress people are representative of the overwhelmingly left-leaning youth of America. Hello and welcome to The Social Cue, the show about causes and people who champion them. I'm your host, Jude Zamora. My guest today knows quite a bit about being a left-leaning youth in America. President of the Brahma Leftist Club, Komalpreet Kaur Bhatt is here to shed some light on this fast-growing movement. Komalpreet, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. So, first question, let's just start off. What does it mean to you to be a leftist?
Well, if we're doing, like, actual definition, it would be anyone with left-wing politics. So, for me, I consider anyone left of Democrats to be a leftist.
What is the ideology of a leftist?
Oh, okay. Well, a huge thing my club falls under is anti-capitalist rhetoric. So I think it can be as simple as, like, do you believe things like water, food, and housing should be free? Then, yeah, you're a socialist to me.
Okay. That's kind of what I was going to say next. Does being a leftist to you also mean the same thing as being a socialist?
Yeah. There's also other types of left-leaning people in my club. Some people would go as far as saying they're a communist as opposed to a socialist. We have some democratic socialists. We have anarchists.
Mm-hmm. But do you guys all share, what do you guys hope to achieve as a club?
I think everybody on the left has the same end goal. They just have different ways about how they want to do it. Essentially, we all can kind of agree that we want a post-capitalist society.
Yeah, but just kind of explain what you mean by a post-capitalist society.
Like I was saying earlier about, like, things like food, housing, and water being a given because, you know, they're basic human rights. And also, like, I feel like capitalism as a system teaches you to be selfish. Capitalism, it's kind of like a pyramid where the 1% stays on the top, but you can't have that much wealth. Like, for example, Jeff Bezos is the most richest man right now, and he's, like, a billionaire. And there's no reason why anyone should be a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I think you're hoarding all that wealth. You're never gonna use all that money. And, like, why not give your money if it meant somebody else had a home or something? You know what I mean? It's a redistribution of wealth. And a huge thing about socialism is that we're seizing the means of production, which are the goods produced in a society. So not only do you work, but you get what you're worked for. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, perfectly, yeah. So what's your role as the president of the club? What do you do?
I lead meetings. I handle social media communications. I handle email communications.
So what is, like, a typical club meeting? How does a typical club meeting go for the leftist club?
Well, our very first meeting this semester, we watched a Boondocks episode. It was an episode about Barack Obama getting elected, and we did a whole discussion on identity politics and how identity politics is when marginalized people feel like they're abstained from any criticism as a result of their identity. So we talked about, you know, Barack Obama and Kamala Harris and how their policies have hurt marginalized people, even though they are people of color. Mm-hmm. Recently, we watched a Bill Nye episode on Netflix about sexuality and gender. We had a whole discussion on that and how, like, our gender binary and our patriarchal society happens hand in hand with capitalism and how, like, the gender binary is a very Western concept.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I'm sure I know your answer to this, but do you think that people leaning more to the left are just fundamentally more accepting and tolerant of, like, LGBTQ type community? Is that, like, a driving platform for the leftists to, like, make sure that LGBTQ people are represented?
Yeah, for sure, because my club kind of deals with all systems of oppression, because all systems of oppression work hand in hand with capitalism, and you can't be serious about, you know, getting rid of sexism and homophobia and all that unless you're serious about dismantling capitalism.
So in your head, what are some of the biggest issues that your club tries to tackle?
The way our club has kind of gained followers on a college campus is that we say things like we care for universal health care, we care about free tuition. That's kind of been what's been used to reel in students because we're using the issues that affect us the most.
It's interesting to me that, like, you know, you you hear a lot of people saying, like, we want free education, we want free healthcare, but at the same time, for whatever reason, you hear people scoffing at that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have any reason as to why people would vote against their own self-interests?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because college was made for the wealthy and elite, and if tuition was free, it would mean that a college degree was no longer a symbol of wealth in this country.
And I'm sure a big question that kind of idea gets is, how do you suggest that we pay for like things that we need, but that we don't have? How do you suggest that we pay for these kinds of things?
We can get rid of the military completely. There's no need for a military. I mean, people talk about quote unquote.
Or even if you cut spending by a lot.
Well, yeah, I guess my club's a little more radical than that. Like, just get rid of the military.
That's your solution.
Yeah.
Okay. So why do you think that people of a conservative mindset use the term leftist as sort of an insult?
I think for them, they just don't understand what it is. I mean, you have people out here calling Bernie Sanders a communist, which is like hilarious to me because Bernie is actually pretty center. There's a lot more radical views out there. And I think for them, they hear about countries like Cuba and Venezuela, and they like to make fun of them for being quote-unquote poor, but I feel like they don't take into account how the U.S. will invade said countries, the U.S. will place sanctions on said countries, and then their people are starving, then they spread false propaganda saying that their leaders are actually dictators and that they aren't democratically elected. So everyone's like, oh, you want to go to Cuba? Good luck with that. And I think for them, they just have a very closed mindset.
So they're kind of cherry-picking parts of socialism that fit their narrative.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. So what kind of socialistic policies do other countries do that you would like to see brought here?
Last I checked, I know Cuba has a good healthcare system. I think there's a difference between socialism and then, like, socialist institutions. Like, you can argue Pierce College or libraries are socialist institutions. You have the Nordic model, like, countries like Sweden and stuff. They are still... I mean, it's a social democracy. It's still a welfare state, but there's still a unionized workforce and there's collective bargaining happening. But that's not something I would want, because I think... Because it's even if it's like capitalism light, it's still capitalism. And at the end of the day, you still have bottom feeders. And who better to be bottom feeders than the most marginalized, the most oppressed?
Mm-hmm. So you said Bernie was kind of you see him as kind of more center than anything else. So what candidates do you, like, of the current, there's like a million people running right now, of the current field, what candidates do you think represent your values most authentically so far?
If I had to pick one, maybe Mike Gravel, because his whole 2020 run is to bring the conversation of American imperialism and to bring it to an end, but he wants the debates to be made mainstream. But other than that, I don't think there's any American politician that'll ever fit our club, because our club kind of calls for more of a revolution or the overthrow of the said system. So you can't really work from the you can't really work from inside the system
if you want to change the whole system.
Exactly. And also our club's very, like, you know, anti-imperialist and anti-genocide and anti-everything, you know? So I don't think there's ever going to be a mainstream politician that denounces the state of Israel. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen, because you have AOC and Bernie, who are probably the most quote-unquote left right now in the mainstream, and they're pretty center compared to our club members, and even they believe in Israel's right to exist.
So do you think, like you brought up AOC, do you think that she is kind of an indicator of how, because she is a pretty young representative in the House, do you think that she is kind of an indication of how people our age, or like our generation, are thinking? Or like because she is very affected. She is a younger, like, millennial,
mm-hmm,
in government. Do you think she kind of is like the tipping point for people our age, for that we will get more involved in government and want to see changes that will benefit us?
No, I think her interests are to protect the upper class, like maybe not necessarily the upper class, but still protect the system itself, because she's a social democrat. Even if she's self-proclaimed democratic socialist, the issue I have with that is that being a democratic socialist or a socialist is inherently anti-capitalistic, but she's not anti-capitalistic. Like, she says in her own interviews that she wants like a Sweden model, and everything she describes in her interviews about like collective bargaining, like she's a complete social democrat. She's pretty center. I don't think she represents any sort of tipping point. I think it's just the Democrats trying to co-opt any form of progress or any form of movements. Like, I think what Democrats do is they hear what the people want, then they flip-flop their positions on things, and then they're like, look, we're hashtag relatable, and it's like...
interesting. So you're really more... Your club is really more geared on focusing on larger-scale issues than on, like, the smaller day-to-day... Mm-hmm. problems. But do you think that because I mean, like, sure, your cause is noble, but do you think that like it would be better to start on a smaller scale to go up, or is this only something that can happen as a large sweeping change?
You know, I think a lot of people are pretty left-leaning, they just don't have the language for it. Like, if I talk to somebody and I explain to them what socialism is or what communism is without saying the words, they're like, yeah, I agree with that. But then the moment I drop that bomb on them, they're like, no, I'm not that. I mean, like, I was talking to some guy the other day. He's like, I'm not really into politics. And I feel like being apolitical is a myth because...
you kind of have to pick a side.
Yeah.
So and one side is going to be with your interests and one side is not.
Yeah. And even if you don't do anything, like, your silence speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, and he was like, yeah, I think water should be free. And I was like, great, you're a socialist now, because even that is such a radical idea to people. And I think, like, sometimes my friends have told me, like, you need to be a little more centrist or a little more moderate if you want people on your side. But I don't want to compromise my values. I think that we need to desensitize a lot of, like, the Red Scare propaganda and McCarthyism and stuff. Like, I know I had Stalin and Mao on my flyers from last semester, and people were like, oh my god, and it actually made Reddit, and people were making wow. fun of it. Yeah, they were like, Los Angeles Community College Socialist Club, and like, my advisor was like, you're doing a good job, you're like bringing attention to it, because even at Club Rush people were laughing at us. They were like, you guys, you want to join the communist club? And I would overhear stuff in class like, oh my god, we have a communist club. And it was so funny because I took off my jacket and I was like, yeah, I'm the president, and you see all these communist fans.
Wow. So, like, I guess that's kind of like no publicity is bad publicity type thing.
Yeah.
You're getting the word out.
Yeah.
Which is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, give me 1 second. So, I guess what I want to say next. So why it kind of feels like the socialists, like communists, like you get thrown those kind of labels to maybe like give whatever it is you're preaching a bad name. So, but why doesn't that ever, you don't ever really hear that from the opposite side? Like, if there's a Republican club, you don't hear like, oh, you're joining the alt-right club. Like,
mm-hmm.
Do you notice that, or do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think that's 100% true, because liberalism aids fascism. I think, you know, with the rise of Antifa, because Antifa literally means anti-fascist. So I think if you are serious about being anti-fascist, the number one rule is to deplatformize fascism. And liberals just have this, like, idea of, like, oh, let's agree to disagree. It's like, you can't agree to disagree when you're telling, you know, trans people they don't exist, you know? Like, you're saying really hurtful and harmful things that cost people their lives. At that point, I don't think it's like, we need... This whole idea of, like, love trumps hate. Like, it's just wild to me, because, like, Democrats will date Republicans, and then they'll be like, oh, we just don't discuss politics. And I don't understand, because, like... Because I think, to me, Democrats and Republicans are almost the same thing. They're kind of, like, the same party, because they both are pro-imperialism, pro-capitalism. The only issues they differ on are more social issues, like gay marriage, abortion. But for the most part, they're still kind of the same thing. And it's kind of, it's like an oxymoron when, you know, liberals or libertarians say that they're socially liberal yet fiscally conservative, because that's not possible, because those fiscal policies
they overlap.
yeah, the fiscal policies that you support are hurting marginalized people, so you can't be socially liberal and fiscally conservative.
So do you think now in the middle of the Trump presidency, and maybe if another four more years of the Trump presidency, but do you think that we are now farther away from your goal than we have ever been? I know it's a lofty goal that you set in general, because you just want to kind of change the way everything works altogether. But
yeah.
But just like you said, like young people are just more liberal thinking. That's just how it how it is, just because we're youth and like the problems that are coming towards us are affecting us.
Yeah.
But in these last 3.5 years, do you think we are farther away from the goals that you're trying to accomplish?
Maybe, because I mean, if it's the goals, I mean, progress in general, maybe no, but if it's the goals I want to reach, then yes, because like even the presidency of Trump couldn't radicalize liberals. So at that point, I was like kind of hopeless. But I think people are more social Democrats nowadays. They're kind of like Bernie-crats. But even that is like, I'm just worried that like Democrats are going to co-opt the movement. Let's say America does become a social democracy and we have like better healthcare systems, better schooling systems. And then what? We're still invading other countries. We're still harming other people. Like, I'm just worried we're going to end up turning a blind eye if things do get better just for us, because I think Americans have a way of thinking that they're the only place in existence.
Right. But don't you think that it's kind of, it's hard to be good out in the world where we are a very imperialist country? We're in over 100 countries. Don't you think it's hard to change out there if we can't change from within first?
Change what within?
Like administration change. Another 4 years of Trump is not going to be the same thing as if Pete Buttigieg or Bernie Sanders won the next election. So don't you think it kind of does matter to take that step in the left direction?
Yeah, I mean, it's incrementalism, but I feel like with incrementalism, like, where does it go after Bernie? Because right now, even Bernie's too radical for most people, or some people, at least. Like, where does it go after that? Is he the end goal?
No, but he could be a start, don't you think?
I just don't believe...
Because he's had his views for a very long time. So, but now they're starting to become popular because young people are listening to what he's saying, and it's reminiscing with them.
I just don't believe in working inside a system. I think there's this one quote, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it was basically like, you can't dismantle... Have you heard that one quote? It was like, you can't dismantle the master with the master's tools, or something along those lines. It's like... Okay, like, Hillary won the popular vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was so mad she didn't actually win. They were like, oh, this is a failed democracy. It's like, no, the system's working exactly how it should, because I think we need to keep in mind...
Not how it should, how it's intended.
Yeah, right. I think we need to keep in mind, because, like, the people who made that system were, like, what, white slave owners on occupied, stolen indigenous land? And this whole idea of, like, inmates can't vote, and then our incarceration rate is, like, highly African-Americans. So what are you saying? You're trying to, like, reprimand the 3/5 Constitution?
Mm-hmm. So that's actually going to be another question. That was a question that was brought up to AOC and to Bernie.
I meant 3/5 compromise.
Yeah, sorry. do you think inmates should vote?
What's the question?
Like, do you think that people serving... in prison right now, like if there were an election today, do you think people serving in jail should vote?
Yeah, because I don't even like agree with the prison system. It's legalized slavery. You know, when all the fires were happening, you had like inmates that were fighting fires for less than $2 an hour, and when they get released from jail, they can't become firefighters because they have that conviction on their record. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems like you're it's a double punishment. You're being it's like either you have the right to vote or you don't. It seems like it should be. Let's see. So is there any? Obviously, there's no candidate that fully represents your spectrum of ideals. But do you think there's anyone currently serving in the government right now that stands out to you who like kind of feels the same way that you do?
I don't know about kind of feels the same way about me, but someone who did stand out to me was Ilhan Omar because of her comments recently. Like, she said, like, one thing and everyone blew it up into something else. Like, there was a guy here recently holding a picture of her with a swastika next to her face saying that she was a Nazi just because he was basically, when the roundup covered it, like, he was basically saying that, like, how Hitler blamed the Jews for everything. That's what Ilhan Omar was essentially doing just because she was saying stuff about Israel. But, like, Ilhan Omar wasn't even anti-Israel. Like, she's for a two-state solution. And it was just all the hate she got. It had a lot to do with, like, racism and Islamophobia because she was this black Muslim woman.
It really just kind of seems like any kind of criticism that people will have for Israel can be also labeled as anti-Semitism.
Yeah, which is, like, ridiculous because, like, Semitism does not equate to Zionism. I feel like Zionism is something that's taught at such a young age. Like, you can kind of... This idea of a birthright, like... The fact that you even call it that title, the fact that Palestinians are paying for those trips, the fact that you kind of guilt, because I have a few Jewish friends, they say they think it's like more of a diaspora experience. Like they don't consider, you know, the government right now in Israel to be their home or represent their values. And, you know, why do you think the Star of David's on the flag? It's all just, you know, like guilt that's kind of instilled to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as we're running out of time here, anything else you'd like to tell us about your club, or like what you have planned coming up for next year? How do they enroll? How do they contact you?
We have a Y Socialism event actually happening tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Great Hall. We're gonna have a Q&A section, so everyone, regardless of political background, is welcome. If you want to be on the emailing list, just email brahmaleftist@gmail.com.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure having you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It wasn't too bad, right?
No.
Okay, perfect. This has been The Social Cue. I am your host, Jude Zamora, for kpcradio.com. Thanks for tuning in.